actually, this year we're looking for a very busy season. You know, the indicators are pointing at, like, last year when we had the lower number of storms, it was due primarily to the El Nino coming in, and there were a number of other factors. This year it looks as if those factors that were helping us last year are really starting to dissipate. And it calls for a busier-than-average season. But the reality is it only takes one storm to make a bad season for you. The classic story about this is the 1992 hurricane season, where you had six named storms, but the first one was Andrew. So to say that that was a quiet season is one thing, yes, but for the people in South Florida, it was a very active season that they won't forget anytime soon.
Right, so what factors are contributing to forecasters' prediction that it's going to be an active season?
Well, one of the things that's happened is the El Nino has gone away that was protecting us. It created a high wind shear across the tropical Atlantic last year, which that helped us certainly. We had a lot fewer storms because they just didn't have an opportunity to get themselves together. This year with the La Nina building in, the predictions are for much lower wind shear across the tropical Atlantic, which means the storms will not be torn apart as much by wind shear. Also, you're looking at higher sea surface temperatures. The kind of storms we had this winter, the high pressure and the low pressure set up in the Atlantic, what happened was there was lighter trade winds, which means that there wasn't a lot of upwelling of cooler water off the coast of Africa. Now that water is considerably warmer than it normally would be this time of the year, so there's a lot of concern there as well.
So what do you say to those who are skeptical about the accuracy of these forecasting models?
Certainly, you know, when you take a look at a forecast, you know, many people look at the predictions that come from NOAA or Dr. Gray, and they wonder how they arrive at these numbers. And certainly, you know, if it's a call for a busy season and it doesn't materialize, people wonder what's happening. Really, though, what we need people to understand, though, is that it really only takes one storm. And, you know, you can say, well, Charlie missed us and Elena missed us, but the reality is that you know, this could happen. As long as we're on the Gulf of Mexico, the Tampa Bay area is along the Gulf of Mexico, the threat still exists.
How heavily has climate change factored into your discussions or any of the discussions there?
That's a very interesting point to bring up. One of the things that we've actually had to take a look at is the possible impact of climate change. There is really no direct one-to-one correlation between climate change right now and the number or intensity of storms. For instance, you know, in the 2005 season, there were a number of people who pointed to the increased number of storms as an indicator that global warming had a major impact on the hurricane season. And yet last year we had a well below average season. So there are a number of indicators out there that may lead one season to be more active than another, but you know, we are discussing the possibility of increased rainfall from storms based on global warming, the possibility of increased intensity. But of course, we're always looking at each individual season and seeing what we can divine from the information.
Are you guys particularly concerned about resources, given the economy as well as the oil spill and a number of other factors that might limit a locality's ability to respond to any kind of storm?
Well, certainly we're concerned about the economy. We understand that people have a responsibility to get themselves prepared for hurricane season, and with the with the high unemployment rate, with the economy the way it is, it's obviously going to be a challenge for people to get themselves and their family ready. So what we tell people to do is to actually start planning now. Make sure that you go out and buy those supplies well in advance of the storm, and do it a little bit at a time. This way, if we do look at a storm's approach this September or October, you'll have that hurricane kit built up already, and you won't have to run out at the last minute to purchase whatever's available.
I've heard that the elephant in the room, so to speak, is the oil gusher. How is that factoring in or changing your discussions?
Well, actually, I mean, the impact of the oil spill on the hurricanes themselves can be very minimal. We're still talking about a very small area inside a much larger body of water called the Gulf of Mexico. So what we're doing is we're looking at these overall patterns. The storms are obviously going to be taking place in the tropical Atlantic, in the Caribbean Sea, in the Gulf. So So while the oil spill, certainly we're going to be monitoring it, it's not necessarily going to be the driving force in how we change our response to hurricane season.
Is there anything new that's come to light as a result of this conference so far?
Well, there's some things we've known coming in that have been explained to us. One of the things that we've done, one of the things the Hurricane Center has done is actually increased the watch and warning times by 12 extra hours. So what you do is now instead of a 24-hour warning time and a 36-hour watch time, that's been pushed back 12 hours. So now you receive the tropical storm or hurricane watch at 48 hours and the warning at 36. Understanding the rationale behind that decision actually is helping us communicate the risk better to our residents, because now there's that extra 12 hours, and certainly we hope that the residents, when they do get a warning, actually consider that in their plans and allow that extra time.